listening to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Right, hello, welcome to episode 259 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal Sean Orford. How are you, Sean? Are you walking? Are you mobile?
I am mobile now, yeah. I actually went into the hospital yesterday and did a clinic. So, walking, I've got some interesting sensations in my leg, but I can use it, all right.
Okay, good to hear it. It's going to be a while till you're pounding the pavements again, hey?
Yeah, yeah. So, how's your foot?
I'm all right. Yeah, just to quickly update folks who aren't out of the loop. Sean did his leg running and I dropped a paving slab on mine, which apparently is quite a common thing in fracture clinic. I've got a mate who's an orthopaedic surgeon. It's quite a common thing in a fracture clinic a weekend, which I've probably left it too late, but it's been a week since I did it and I just whacked it again this morning. And it's rather painful, so I think I've done some proper damage there, but... He's coming in about half an hour, my pal, so I'll
Going to have a look.
I'll run it by him, see if he wants to have a little feel, and I don't know if he's got a mobile x-ray machine. It'd be quite interesting to see what's going on in there.
When you work in A&E departments, in accident and emergency, you see that life runs in seasons.
Yeah.
So we're moving into the spring season, so there's going to be a whole load of people that are going out in the garden and using tools for the first time this year, and people will be lawn mowing their feet and doing all kinds of things. There are people hover mowing in sandals.
Excellent.
And that kind of stuff. Yeah. And you can see it each year. You know, by the time you get to autumn and people are starting to build their log piles, then all the chainsaw injuries start to come in.
I'm going to steer clear of chainsaws, definitely. But, yeah, lifting around and moving paving slabs in nothing but little flimsy little summer shoes is not a good idea. So a little top tip for you there, straight off the bat, listeners. We're talking about privacy and trust this week, which we'll come on to soon. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. And by the time you listen to this, we should have a shiny new privacy policy. I'm sure everyone out there has been getting loads of privacy policy emails, GDPR bits and bobs.
Yeah,
which we're jumping on that bandwagon. That's sort of what we're tying in. But have a look at the website for all the show notes and links. More importantly, to this week's show and all previous episodes are there too. And if you stick your email address in one of the boxes and agree to our privacy policy, we'll send you some free meditation files, discount code for the book, and you'll get weekly email alerts for this podcast as well. But you can unsubscribe at any time. I feel I should add. I don't think I need to say that every week.
Are you supposed to say that as part of the privacy policy?
On the website we do, yeah, but not when I just say it out loud. I don't think. Flipping heck, I'm not a lawyer. I'm ain't no legal expert, so maybe I should check that out. But apart from hobbling around, how are you doing, Sean?
I'm good. We had a bit of an issue over the weekend because Robert went off for a jolly on Saturday, and then we got a call Sunday morning to say he was in hospital because he'd had appendicitis over the overnight.
Ouch.
And then had to have an operation on Sunday. We have got him back home, but he's upstairs asleep at the moment.
So he was away when this happened, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had a couple of pals that have suffered from that. Sounds like it's mildly, not the nicest feeling in the world. Bit of discomfort.
No. Yeah. They managed to do it keyhole surgery, so recovery will be quicker.
Okay, cool.
But it's very sore, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'll bet. Yeah, not nice that. Poor Robert. Rest easy, mate. Hope you're all right. Plenty of time to listen to all our podcast archive or anything you missed out on.
That would change his life, wouldn't it?
Did you enjoy the royal wedding this weekend? You into all that?
Well, it was interesting because we had it was like Ladies' Day here, so we had Auntie V, who's in the 90s round, who's a good royalist, and Nanny Pam and everybody. So we had Rhi and I were doing food and stuff, and feeding everybody. So it was good fun.
Yeah, great. We actually hit the zoo, Chester Zoo, during the day, which
yeah,
probably a good call because it was a bit quiet, didn't it? Otherwise, it would have been gorgeous day, gorgeous weather.
Yeah.
But watched the highlights when we got back or later on. It was an amazing event, really, to be fair. I mean, yeah, don't want to get into the politics of royal family and all that lark, but just a lovely event. Great sight, isn't it? What a spectacle.
Yeah, it's good.
They seem like decent guys too, so yeah, hey-ho, crack on, guys, crack on.
Yeah.
And we'll do the same now because we're going to dive into, yeah, a bit of a chat about privacy and trust. Yeah, I'm sure everyone out there, it's kind of, what is it, mid-May 2018, so they've got this GDPR legislation, which has come down from our wonderful overlords at the EU. But to be fair, and from I'm a web designer, so I've had to implement a lot of this stuff for my clients and try to get my head around the ins and outs of it. It's kind of long overdue in a lot, certainly in the digital world, because I think it's been a bit of a wild west in terms of when you give your email address to someone or your details, you never quite know where it's going to go and what's going to happen to it. So I think it's given a lot of companies, big companies especially, a bit of a kick up the backside. But it's been quite interesting seeing all these frantic emails coming out and please stay in touch, let us stay in touch with you, etc. Like almost begging and pleading with people to stay on the list. But yeah, I take it you've been getting a lot of them as well, Sean.
Oh God, yeah. Absolutely crazy. Mm. And it makes you realise how many things you are on the list of you didn't realise. But one of the things that you do need to be aware of, I was listening to on a money program the other day, is that there are an amount of companies who are currently sending out emails to people saying, do you want to stay on our list? And apparently you were never on their list in the first place. They're just fishing for people. They're going to go, yeah, okay. So they're actually building their email list.
Right.
Getting people's compliance because people aren't paying that much attention to the emails that are coming through.
Okay. So people are using it for a bit of devious means, eh?
Yeah. So if you start getting emails from people and you're thinking, I'm sure I never bought anything from you, the chances are that you never did.
Yeah. And like I say, from my perspective, it's pretty good stuff. I mean, it's a bit of a faff, and I know for a lot of companies that I'm working with, it's a faff to have to get their heads around this stuff. But I mean, initially, I think it's really aimed at the big boys, the Facebooks and the big companies that are kind of not using people's data as they should be or storing it in the right way.
But it comes right down to me as a therapist. As a therapist, I now, under this new legislation issue, have to store any notes that I keep with people on an encrypted server online that is recognised by my professional body. So it's safe and secure online. But then I have to inform people that I've got their stuff encrypted online.
So are you allowed to use Dropbox or Google Drive or something like that?
All these things are crackable. It's a bit like using Skype is seen as insecure because people can listen in to what you're doing. Whereas if you use something like VC or Viber or something like that, it's encrypted.
Okay, yeah.
People can't hack into it while you're doing stuff.
Blimey, it's good fun. It's good fun. But let's move this on to a kind of a more general chat about privacy, because getting away from the legalities of data law around the world, some people are naturally seemingly more private than others. It's more obvious than ever now in this online world we live in, where we're sharing everything we're having for lunch and what we're doing at any given moment. But some people shy away from it, don't they? And is that just, are some of us just set up that way, or is this learned behavior over time that kind of makes us a bit less less trusting? Sorry,
I think that there's two ways that it works. One is that you get people who are they're reactive in the sense that something's happened to them or a family member or someone close to them, so they're now paranoid in some way. If you get people that have a learned reactive response because of things that happened to them when they were young or happened to them in a dramatic way, then it changes their behavior. You get a kind of a paranoia about not needing people, wanting people to know who you are and where you are and what you're doing.
Yeah.
If you think about it, as soon as you get a private number plate, everybody knows your car. Everybody locally is going to know your car, where your car is, mm-hmm. Or that kind of stuff. But there are lots of people that won't go on to social media, or if they do use social media, they'll use a pseudonym. So, and I become Nelly Smith or something online.
Yeah.
And so I have this kind of alter ego that I'm using.
Yeah, well, online privacy is an interesting one, and I've thought about that a lot, you know, because I have energetic communications with people online every now and again about various issues, and sometimes it's quite frustrating. You know, I'm out there on Twitter, for example, as Edward Lamb, a picture of my face next to the comment that I've put on there. And if I'm kind of having a conversation with someone that's got a name that doesn't make sense, and there's a profile picture is a, I don't know, a peregrine falcon or something like that, it's hard to kind of speak to them on the same level. But at the same time, I understand that sometimes, you know, people might want to get across a certain position without people, the person they're speaking with, knowing where they're from, who they are precisely. So sometimes anonymity online, it kind of is, it's necessary sometimes, isn't it?
But does that also mean, though, that I can, I don't know, use very kind of right-wing or left-wing terminology and be really kind of aggressive and stuff, but hide behind that anonymity?
Yeah, well, that's what it's been used for, you know, and I've been following the whole, troll Russian interference stuff since Brexit, really, and since the Trump vote as well, because it seems to have quite a big one. I remember, you know, before the referendum and as Trump, before the election for Trump, just seeing this kind of huge whitewash of just bullshit, basically, in terms of, you know, made up statistics about immigration. Just saw it all over the place, and it just felt, and it, a lot of it at the time, it was coming from anonymous accounts which hadn't been verified by Twitter, that kind of thing. So it's a tough one, really, but I think ultimately you do need to be, people do need to have the option to be anonymous online. But the flip side is that it's open to abuse, the system, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, can you be anonymous and be responsible? Is the thing, I guess.
It's tricky. Yeah. Go on.
I mean, how many times in the past, is it George Eliot, who's actually a woman, who wrote books under a man's name because it wasn't acceptable for a woman to write books?
Ah, right, yeah, okay.
I mean, the same kind of thing, isn't it? It's maintaining privacy.
Yep, definitely. A bit of a generational thing going on here as well, isn't there, in terms of, well, online systems anyway, because I've got chatting to grandparents recently who don't or refuse to use online banking, despite, you know, it's just something that I do every day, really, checking accounts and making sure things have gone off. And I can't imagine living without online banking now, to be honest.
I use online banking, which serves my needs, which is fine. The thing that we were talking about earlier on that I think is important relative to the banking, because I think this is an issue, although you didn't think it was, is that if you're buying something online, if you use a debit card that is related to your account, then if someone is clever and is hacking into either the accounts of the company that you bought it from or hacking in earlier in the sequence, they can discover your bank details and even your password, depending on how it was presented.
Yeah.
Which can mean that, and I have dealt with cases of this where people have had their bank accounts emptied. By people. Now, some people got their money back from the banks. There are people I know that have had problems because the bank said that they were negligent in maintaining their own security.
Yeah.
But, I mean, those ones are relatively rare. But if you use a credit card online and then pay it off with your debit card, then you've got the protection of the credit card. The credit card will reimburse you.
Yeah. See, that sounds like a bit of a faff for me. I'm using my debit card left, right, and centre all over the show. Probably in the knowledge that if anything did happen, the bank would cover it and sort it out reasonably quickly.
But then what would happen? Because, I mean, I've had this kind of case where you've got a single parent who's got kids, and suddenly their whole bank system is shut down because someone's hacked into it and they can't get any access to any money.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I think that the amount of people that do get roasted online is relatively few to all the billions of people that are online.
Yeah.
Which is okay, unless it just happens to be you, and then it's a real pain in the backside. You know?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, I guess it's these kind of handful of little tiny proportion of cases which can scare people away from certain things, isn't it? Which comes to the question about whether or not the world is a safe place, whether you're feel comfortable walking the streets and getting involved with things, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that whenever we get anything that starts to scare people, so if there's been a lot of knife attacks in a town, you know, does that mean people did go out at night in that town? It's that kind of thing, you know. So if there's been a few issues online where people have had problems, then, you know, do we all get paranoid now?
Yeah, well, I mean, in terms of privacy and trust, there's obviously, there's the side of things where people won't use a certain platform or system, or they won't do certain things because they've heard of a scare story. And then if we move it on to someone who, the type of person who maybe has anxiety issues around something, is this kind of, can there be underlying health reasons why someone might be more private rather than just a scare story they saw in the Daily Mail or something?
Yeah, so say someone has AIDS and the medication now means that people can live with AIDS for many, many years, maybe forever, and die from something else. The thing is that, do you want other people to know that you've got AIDS?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now, okay, you might have a legal responsibility that if you have a physical relationship with somebody and you have AIDS, you have to inform them of the fact that you have AIDS.
Okay.
Because if not, it can be treated like an offensive weapon,
right?
You know, so that, because it can be like attempted murder, that kind of stuff. Right. So that if you have that kind of problem, yes, you need to be responsible about it, but you might not generally want everybody in your workplace to know that you've got AIDS.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. So there are very real issues of privacy. Because one of the things that they're saying, you know, I've got this DNA test and I need to complete and send back to Ancestry.com. Now, that's going to potentially, I mean, they're going to read my DNA, aren't they? Now, I don't know what they're going to do with that once they've done it. But if an insurance company had access to the DNA records of big sections of the population, would that affect how they structured their insurance policies, maybe?
Yeah.
You know, who they would insure, who they wouldn't insure, or that kind of stuff. So I think that although it is in some ways a bit kind of paranoid and something for us all to get excited about again, I think there are some real issues underlying the need for some levels of privacy.
Yeah.
Both from a society's point of view, but from us individually as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm just, there's a couple of articles I'm going to link to in the show notes about where mistrust and anxiety and privacy can become a bit of a problem in your life. I mean, okay, I understand them. It's not everyone, thank goodness, has to share everything online on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, what they've had for lunch every day, because that would just get a bit much if everyone was doing it.
Yeah.
But at one point, you kind of can there be little clues as to, I don't know, if someone's had a rough childhood or maybe they're a bit of a shut-in and they're not communicating or not getting involved in society and it's causing them a real problem in terms of loneliness or anxiety.
Yeah.
At what point do you step in and encourage people to step outside, you know, go through that door and get involved a bit more in the universe?
I think it's a case of anxiety normal. If anxiety gets in the way of you being you, then it's become a disorder and we need to do something about it, or you need to do something about it.
Yeah.
I think that the issues of people's general paranoia about not wanting to be known about is usually a symptom of things that happened to them earlier on in life in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And the resolution of that is resolving what happened earlier on in life, because then the symptom goes away.
Okay.
And one of the problems in the way that we see things in the West is we tend to work with the symptoms rather than the causes.
Yeah.
So the issue isn't someone who's anxious about being seen in public isn't making them go into public that is the thing. It's getting rid of the underlying paranoia, fear, anxiety, worry about going out in public.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm at the age now where a lot of my pals and peers, people my age, are churning out sprogs, just sprogs galore. There's kids all over my Facebook. People are at that age where they got toddlers running around, but it's quite interesting to see the people that do post lots of photos and updates about what the little ones are up to, which I've been through that really, so I can sort of relate to it, because it's an amazing time in your life. But then it's almost as if the people that don't post anything, I've got a couple of friends that they've learned silence online, even though they've got kids, and it's quite interesting because you kind of wonder why they're not posting anything. And I haven't got the answer, actually, as to why they're not. But I have got one set of friends who are really strict on not having their kid on social media at all. I think kind of child protection stuff.
And I think that there are many people that feel that, you know, that the idea about if you're putting yourself or your kids up online like that, are you going to be the subject of voyeurs and perverts and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Which, again, is usually reactive. It's usually something that's happened to somebody. They've experienced directly or indirectly. That, you know, something has triggered it. And it's like the issues of, you know, how private do I need to be about me? And in reality, I don't really care what anybody knows about me. I've done good things in life. I've done bad things in life. I've made mistakes. I've done really great things, you know. But it's like who I am. I don't feel a need to kind of hide it or protect it. And I'm not worried about what people would know or might think about me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of people off the top of my head, but obviously there are a lot of people that we see in public life on a daily, weekly basis in politics or in, I don't know, movie stars, that kind of thing. And certain members of that online, that community that we see all the time, that everyone knows, they're quite good. They have this public facing side of them, which, you know, you might think you know them really well. But at the same time, they're quite good at hiding their actual private life.
Yeah,
it's quite a skill that, I think, really, isn't it? I bet.
Yeah, very much. I mean, one of the things that has always made me laugh, because of the things I've done in life and the books I've read, written and stuff like that, and when I do the conferences, and I meet quite a few people that say to me, oh, you're Sean Orford, you're really famous, you are. And I'm thinking, no, I'm not. I'm just like, I mean, what's famous mean? You know? And it's like people try and turn you into some kind of guru. And I'm thinking, I'm just a regular Joe. I'm a regular you and me. I'm not anything clever. And it's like, I think that what happens for some people with their politicians or whatever, they create this persona, which is a lie and isn't who they really are. And then they get caught out. And that's when we get all the scandals in the press.
Yeah.
You know.
You've got to be careful, haven't you, about... Yeah, I mean, there's a difference between being private or like being out there, but having a private life, and kind of being out there and kind of having this secret, horrible, like different you that you're hiding from everyone, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think that it's really important that we make that we distinguish, you know, difference between those things. And and I'm just thinking of all the people that have been famous. That we were brought up with, you know, whether it's the Rolf Harris's or the Jimmy Savile's, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And in that sense, should someone's privacy, if they're like that, be maintained? Because there's an issue, isn't there, about who's allowed to say what to whom? Mm-hmm. Who's allowed to share what with whom? And that's what this is all about, really, isn't it? It's like whether it is my own details about what I buy and who I see and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, the problem is you've got a phone, I've got a phone. I've got you on Find My Friends.
Oh, yeah. We do, actually. We can see each other's location, me and you, can't we?
Yeah. I can remember just turning it on once and watching you driving down the M6 toll road. And thinking, where are you going?
Where's he off to? Yeah. Well, I used to use that a lot, that app for tracking when my wife had left work, so I could get dinner on. It was really handy for that, actually.
But we're
still hooked up. I haven't used it in a while, actually, but I assume we're still hooked up, so I can see where you are at any particular time.
Yeah.
But I don't mind that. I've told certain friends, or I've discussed it with other pals, that me and Beth are hooked up on that, using that app, and we use it for quite handy reasons. And some people kind of revolt and kind of like, wow, I wouldn't like that. That's weird. That's freaky. But to me, it's quite a handy little tool, to be honest. So I'm quite up for it.
Well, you know the Find My Phone app?
Yeah.
When I was doing a lot of running, Ree would do what you did with Find My Friend. She'd see where I was on my route, so she could have breakfast ready when I came in for the run. But we do that, and we have shared diaries as well, so we know what each other are doing and where each other are.
Yeah.
And also you can see it online if you need to.
Yeah, well, I have various digital personas on different platforms that I've... be interesting to know, actually. I mean, we've got a good little legion of dedicated listeners that hang on our every word, and it'd be interesting to know if they met us in real life or when they meet us, whether we live up to the hype of online Sean and Ed, or whether we're a massive letdown in reality.
the first thing they say to us is, "You two are short."
Yeah, I thought you were taller.
Yeah, I thought you were taller than that.
All right, so you've got a resource for us.
Two things, really. One is, I've been using this app for years, which is called Unroll Me.
Unroll.me, yeah, okay, I've heard of that.
Yeah, and that's great, because when people try to whack me onto their mail list, it hooks them out and says to me, do you want it or not? So I can just go, no, and they're all gone.
Nice.
But the other one I think that is probably useful is, there are password apps these days that help you generate passwords. And I think those are something that's worth investigating, because so many people use passwords that are so predictable that it is dead easy then for if someone does decide to hack into your stuff, to be able to get through your different defences, because they're all so similar, kind of thing.
Cool. All right. I'll have a look at that, actually. And definitely Unroll Me. I've heard of that, and I've been meaning to sort.
Yeah. I wonder whether Unroll Me will become irrelevant under this new system. I was thinking about that.
Maybe. I don't know. There's still going to be companies out there that either unknowingly break the rules or still just carry on regardless, because they're not bothered about the potential consequences. But, okay, yeah, mine is just to have a general social media checkup. So my setup is that Twitter is the kind of public me. It's open. That's kind of, yeah, I don't mind sharing stuff on there, but I'm quite selective about what I share. But whereas Instagram and Facebook, I've got like locked down accounts, really. So I only really, with a few exceptions, share access to my Instagram and my Facebook with friends and family, like people I would meet in real life.
Yeah.
Not because I'm particularly shy about what's on there. It's just I wanted to keep it just a bit more locked down, so it's easier to manage and maintain. So just everyone have a little think about how they've got them all set up, depending on which ones you use, and just make some little tweaks here and there to your settings.
Yeah, I guess it's about how happy are the way that people are seeing you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. You happy, Sean?
Interesting. Yeah, I'm good. I am good.
We're going to record another one later tonight, aren't we? Because we're both away.
Yeah, we're
going to
be
soonish. So we'll get one in the bank. But I'll catch up with you later, Sean, and all our listeners. Check out the website livingthepresent.co.uk for all the links, show notes. Yeah. If you receive this via email, an alert, then you can unsubscribe at any time. We won't be offended, honestly. But
oh, I will.
Yeah, we do monitor all that stuff.
Yeah, that'll
be pins and dolls. We'll be back same time next week.
Yeah, you take care.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.